Hello, Furious followers. Chris here with another Fury Within. I'm going to do something a little bit different today and put myself out there in a way I haven't. I wrote a little story and I'd like to tell it to you. Let me know what you think at cowardsfury@gmail.com. Hopefully it doesn't suck. Tilda had heard of the town Bitterton before. An odd place and sometimes a sad place. A suitable name for that town, people would say. Tilda was feeling that now, bitter. Life hadn't exactly worked out the way she'd wanted. She had finished school, started a teaching job, was feeling pretty good about her future. Then she met Morty. Morty wooed Tilda, said all the right things, took her to the right places, made her feel really special. Morty was exactly what Tilda needed. Or so she thought. Over time, Morty began to change. Morty would criticize everything Tilda did, from how she wore her hair, to how she dressed, to the friends she kept. He was controlling, manipulative, and no stranger to the ladies. When Tilda became pregnant, she figured Morty would settle down, be the father he said he wanted to be. But once again, life would prove to be unpredictable and cruel. Tilda suffered through a miscarriage and infidelity. She was done. Done with Morty, done with teaching, done with city life. She wanted something simpler. She wanted to become a writer. Tilda thought Bitterton could be just the place to get her creative juices flowing. She found the perfect property, a lonely house with enough acreage for a vegetable garden, a dog, and maybe a horse one day. And the price was unbelievably low. She snatched the property up and made plans to start over. At 32, it wouldn't be easy, but Tilda was nothing if not determined. Moving day arrived. Tilda unceremoniously packed the last of her things into her SUV, gave a defiant glance back at the place she used to share with good old Mort, and drove off. She had no parents or siblings to question her move, or to even help her for that matter. All three had perished 15 years ago in a terrible car crash. Tilda was, once again, all on her own. But now, this was just the way she wanted it. As Tilda drove, her mind wandered and her heart ached. She began to work on some story ideas as her car pulled closer to her destination. Tilda felt that pull, an inevitable dance partner swaying and twirling to music unheard and yet everywhere. She knew this was where she was supposed to be. The old house came into sight. It loomed longingly against the evening sky as Tilda pulled up in her car to the property just on the outskirts of Bitterton. Her heart pounded with a mix of excitement and trepidation. She'd had her difficulties, and this was the fresh start that she needed. The front door groaned with the sound of aged enthusiasm as Tilda first crossed the threshold. She slowly entered the home. She had been told that the house had seen its share of tragedy. Perhaps they could heal together. The house was covered in a fine layer of dust, nothing some rags or cleaner couldn't fix. The place was empty, save for the study just off the foyer. The dusty study, seemingly untouched for years, beckoned her as she explored her new home. An old book, its pages blank, lay on the desk like a forgotten relic of the past. Tilda would get to this room later. It clearly needed more attention than the rest of the place. Tilda settled into the house and into life in Bitterton with a sense of both liberation and apprehension. The town was quaint and peaceful, surrounded by rolling hills and the serenity of nature. She spent her days exploring the town, meeting friendly, if somewhat standoffish, neighbors, and immersing herself in her writing. The old house became her sanctuary, and she found inspiration in its hauntingly beautiful architecture. Tilda spoke with some of the townspeople from time to time, friendly banter. They would give her questioning and sometimes even hostile looks when she mentioned that she was the one who'd bought the old place up in the hill. She couldn't understand their reactions. To her, the house was perfect, an exquisite mix of old stateliness and the promise of a future yet fulfilled. She tossed their glances and comments aside. This was her life, her house. She was going to enjoy it. As Tilda began to explore her new house more fully, she realized the old dusty book sitting atop the study's desk seemed to beckon her. The book, with its ornate cover and spine, looked somehow familiar. She picked up the book, leafed through it, only to realize, again, that it was blank. Perhaps it was some type of old journal, she thought to herself, but then she thought nothing more of it for a time. She usually worked on her writing outside or in the sunroom because the outdoors seemed to inspire her. She would return to the study often, however, as the room had a bit of an emotional pull for her. She took her time sorting through the study's forgotten belongings, each item resonating with a sense of history and mystery. One afternoon, she returned to the old book to find words etched across its previously blank pages. Goosebumps rose on her arms as she read the unexpected inscription, "Welcome home, Tilda." Her initial disbelief turned into intrigue as she found the book had written about her day in the house, detailing her actions with remarkable accuracy. At first, she attributed it to her imagination or stress, but every time she checked, the book's pages had more to say about her. Curiosity mixed with unease, Tilda could not resist playing along. She purposefully did things out of the ordinary, testing the book's ability to predict her actions. And each time, the book was spot on, describing her thoughts and feelings as if it had a direct connection to her mind. Days turned into weeks, and Tilda's fascination grew into obsession. The mysterious book became her secret confidant and her constant companion. She poured her heart out, hoping the book's predictions would lead to a better life, a happier future. As the months passed, Tilda's own writing flourished. She penned stories that were both enchanting and eerie, capturing the essence of the town and its haunting atmosphere. Her work garnered praise from locals, and soon her stories were being published in various literary magazines. The townspeople admired her talent, but they also sensed something odd about her creations, as if they held a certain truth beyond the realm of fiction. Amidst her writing success, Tilda's personal life remained distant. She had withdrawn from any potential romantic interests, still haunted by the memories of Morty's betrayal. Instead, she found solace in the companionship of a loyal dog she had adopted, naming him Merlin. Merlin was ever by her side, sensing her moods and offering comfort when she needed it most. It was as though Merlin was the embodiment of the old book. One evening, Tilda's curiosity of what the old self-writing book had said about her that day got the best of her. She retrieved the book from what had become its permanent spot, but she found the tone of the writing had shifted. The words became darker, filled with sinister implication. Tilda's anxiety roared back into her head and her heart as she read the book's detailed account of the events that would transpire later that night. Rather than its customary yet creative recap of her day, it spoke of her encountering a malevolent presence within the house, something that lurked in the shadows waiting to consume her. Terrified, Tilda decided to escape the clutches of the book's predictions. She placed the eerie volume on a high shelf, hoping to break its connection to her. Yet, to her horror, the next morning, she found the book back on the desk, its pages fuller still, as if taunting her for trying to evade its knowledge. Desperation set in as Tilda realized the book's power extended beyond her actions. It could foretell her future. Each time she checked, the writing had advanced, narrating her days with chilling precision. Her attempts to avoid the predicted events failed miserably, as if fate itself conspired against her. And just as the old book had changed, so had Tilda. Her own writing became stifled and difficult. Every word had to be extracted like some long-forgotten tongue that no one could understand in today's world, and yet Tilda could not let the old book go. With mounting dread, Tilda continued reading, unable to escape the unfolding tragedy. The book chronicled her descent into madness and despair as she struggled against the relentless march of fate. In the depths of the book's ominous pages, she discovered a final entry, a detailed and graphic depiction of her own gruesome demise. That couldn't be right, she reasoned. Everyone in town knew her. She had friends. The only enemy she had was her ex, but they hadn't spoken in forever. And how and why would he want to hurt her now? And she couldn't even be sure that she was reading something that was real anyway. I mean, the book had been blank. Although everything was accurate up to the present moment, how could some weird book that was probably some manifestation of her own anxiety predict the future, especially to know the exact date and time and manner of her death? That was not how her story would end, Tilda decided. Panicked and terrified, Tilda knew she had to break free from the book's grip. She gathered her courage, ready to confront the malevolent force within the house. Armed with the knowledge of her future, she tried to outwit the sinister presence, but it seemed invincible, always one step ahead. As the fateful evening approached, Tilda found herself cornered, her every move dictated by the ominous book. She sank deeper and deeper into despair, not understanding what was happening. All the progress she had made, all the beauty that she had brought to her writing, why did it all feel as though it was falling away from her, like some tattered shroud that never fit her at all? There was so much left to do, so much more to write about. Besides, she hadn't even gotten that horse she wanted. And what about Merlin? Wait, where was Merlin? She hadn't seen Merlin for days. He needs to be fed. He needs to go out. But which way was out? Tilda could resist no more. Her eyes grew dim. She would just lie down for a moment. It would all be better in the morning. And then she would get rid of that heinous book. Merlin would be there waiting for her. Wait. Oh, yes, there he is. His fur soft yet faint in her fingers as Tilda allowed the darkness to envelop her, warm and wanting. It was like a soft goodnight kiss, like when she would allow herself to remember her mother's warm goodnights as a child. Good night, Mama. Good night, Tilda. The next morning, the sun rose. The old house stood still and silent. Only the loud knock would break the silence and the gruff voice of a man yelling, "Police! Hello? We're here to do a wellness check." More shuffling of feet outside, police looking through windows, trying to find an unlocked way inside. The house seemed to groan in irritation from the intrusion. Finally, Sheriff Elwood Whittington found the back door to the kitchen unlocked and slightly ajar. He entered and immediately knew something was wrong. The smell hit him first. It was the smell of human blood and decay. And then he saw them. In the front hallway, right in the heart of the house, lay Tilda and her dog Merlin. They had been slaughtered. It looked like they'd been laying there for days, maybe longer, which seemed to corroborate what some of the folks in the town had said. Most said they'd seen Tilda in the market about a week or so ago, looking a little lost, maybe a little too thin. Others said they had seen her just the day before, which is why it took authorities so long to do a well check. People kept saying they'd seen her, some in the park, some on the road, but always in the distance. Mrs. Jenkins said she'd seen Tilda just 3 days ago, headed toward the old cemetery. She called out to her, but received no answer. Mrs. Jenkins mentioned that Tilda looked a bit odd, as if she was only partially aware, partially there. Police processed what looked to be a crime scene, but there was absolutely no evidence of another human in that house. No fingerprints, no footprints, and there was blood everywhere. No blunt object with blood on it, no knife. Nor did it look like the wounds were self-inflicted. And what about Merlin, the dog? The dog must have died first, or it would have barked or done something. The strangeness of the scene could not be explained, nor could the autopsy. It would be revealed that Tilda and Merlin both died from blood loss due to identical gaping slices in their throats. The medical examiner could not, however, determine what type of weapon had been used. It was almost as if the wound had been made from the inside. And Tilda and Merlin had been dead, it would be revealed, for at least a week, perhaps a bit more. Police scoured the house for evidence, but nothing. Nothing out of the ordinary, no broken glass or smashed locks. The only item of some interest was an old book with an ornate cover. The book looked like it had been thrown against the wall and come to rest on the floor close to where Tilda and her dog were found. It had been overlooked at first, just an odd artifact from whatever happened to cause tragedy to visit that house again. The book had some heft, but nowhere near enough to cause the damage dealt to Tilda or her dog, so the police left it where it lay. Days after Tilda had been found, a detective saw the book in a dark corner of the hallway where Tilda spent her final moments. She picked the book up, studied the outside, admiring the beautiful yet odd cover and binding. But otherwise, there was nothing special about the book. In fact, as she flipped through the book, the pages were blank until she reached the title page, where she saw words that made her stomach drop and every hair on her body stand at attention. Scripted were the words, "Welcome home, detective." So that's it. That's my short story. I wrote it in, I don't know, a couple of hours. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, give me an outreach and let me know what you thought of it. If it sucked, keep it to your damn self. Otherwise, I hope you have a good one. Talk to you soon, furious followers.